earnestly for the Lord, and he inclined unto me and heard my cry. He brought me up also out of an horrible pit, out of the miry clay, and set my feet upon a rock, and established my going. He hath put a new song in my mouth, even praise unto our God. Many shall see it and fear, and shall trust in the Lord. Blessed is that man that maketh the Lord his trust, and respecteth not the proud, nor such as turn aside to lies. Now, let us read over in the New Testament, in 1 Peter chapter 2, and reading from verse 1. Wherefore, laying aside all malice, and all guile, and hypocrisies, and envy, and all evil speakings, as newborn babes desire the sincere milk of the word, that ye may grow thereby, if so be ye have tasted that the Lord is gracious, to whom coming as unto a living stone, disallowed indeed of men, but chosen of God and precious. Ye also as lively stones are built up a spiritual house and holy priesthood to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God by Jesus Christ. Now, let us go over to the book of Jude. This is before the book of the Revelation. And reading verse 17, But beloved, remember ye the words which were spoken before of the apostles of our Lord Jesus Christ, how that they told you there should be mockers in the last time, who should walk after their own ungodly lust. These be they who separate themselves sensuous, having not the Spirit. But ye, beloved, building up yourselves on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost, keep yourselves in the love of God, looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ. Now one more in 1 Timothy chapter 6. First Timothy chapter 6, and reading from verse 17. Charge them that are rich in this world, that they be not high-minded, nor trust in uncertain riches, but in the living God, who giveth us richly all things to enjoy, that they do good, that they be rich in good works, ready to distribute, willing to communicate, laying up in store for themselves a good foundation against the time to come, that they may lay hold on eternal life. Now, these are simple thoughts, and I'm sure to many of you they're not new, but we have something new here today, and that is new converts. And so that's what we like speaking to those who are new and young in the faith. Just while I was reading, I was thinking of the first morning meeting that I was at here in Clemensvale around 40 years ago. There was no carpet on the floor, but there was something on the floor that was precious and very precious today because it's so rare. There was a little puddle of tears in front of many of the seats of those who had their heads bowed and were remembering the Lord, some of them for the first time. My, we can just see a repeat of that today. Right there, here in Clemensvale. Not in this hall, because this is a new hall. I think is this the third hall? The third hall that's been here? One was burned, or was there two burned? One was burned, and this one, the other one was remodeled and all. But I can remember so well that day. Now that's what I want to think of here in this first one we read. He brought me up out of an horrible pit. And then I was thinking in Peter there of growing up into him. We read, I think it's in the Epistle to the Colossians. And then building up yourselves on your most holy faith. And then laying up in store a good foundation against the day to come. Now there's nothing that will stir us up like going back to the hole of the pit from whence we have been digged. Every one of us here have a story to tell that's going to heaven. And we look back to those dark days when we were down in the pit. That is, in the pit of nature, the pit of noise. I remember when I was first saved, I heard a man preaching on this. A pit of noise, and he mentioned about the noise around that. And that's what the margin says, a pit of noise. And it was noise 50 years ago. What is it today? It's this poor world. They've corrupted everything that God has made precious. They corrupt it. And we have been brought up out of that horrible pit and out of the miry clay. Some go back many years, as we have said, 50, 60 years, and some only 2 or 3 weeks are here today, and it's just fresh to them that they've been brought up out of the horrible pit and out of the miry clay, and set our feet upon a rock and established our goings and put a new song in our mouth, even praises unto our God. Each one of us has a story to tell, haven't we? When we were brought up. I was thinking not long ago, you know, he says out of the miry clay. Sometimes it takes a little while to get the mud off our feet after we get up. It doesn't just all shake off. And we would just like a little word of caution to those who are older. You know, sometimes when people get saved, and the first few weeks, some believer will get a hold of them, and they will pour everything in and think that they should know everything in the first week or two. Now, brethren, that's not the way we grew up. That's not the way I grew up. That's not the way that I was treated, but just as I was able to bear it, the Word of God was brought to bear upon my soul and upon my life. And there was things that seemed startling to me when I saw them in the Word of God. But don't overfeed. And don't overrush young Christians. They'll learn that the life of God is in them. They will grow and learn. And as you've been hearing, they'll want to please God. Now wouldn't it be lovely if we could just keep that new song? Singing in our soul. That freshness. My, we look back when it just seemed to sing itself. And now you almost have to force that song, don't we? You know what the trouble is? We lose an appreciation, as you've been hearing, for the Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, how precious He was to us those few moments, those few days, those few weeks right after we got saved. And you know, the least little blot, the least little spot in our conscience, it robbed us of our joy. But then we get a seared conscience. And that seared conscience takes away from us that joy. And oh, we can go along, as you've been hearing, we can preach. And we can visit and we can minister and all the rest. But you know, there's something we can't do. We can't get into the presence of God in communion if there's anything on our soul, unconfessed sin, some spot in our conscience. And so there needs to be that examination and that freshness. Oh, let us keep that freshness, dear young believer. Fresh from the hand of God. God has done the most wonderful thing for you that He can ever do. For human beings, He's brought you out of the horrible pit, and He's put you into the kingdom of God. And you know, we should just spend our time enjoying the presence of our Lord Jesus Christ and that new song. Now, I wonder if there's someone here today, and you look back to those better days. You look back to those days that you sat in the morning meeting. How long is it since a tear dropped in your eye? From your eye on your cheek? How long since driving along in the car or out in the work, it overwhelmed you and you thought, oh, just to think, why me? Why did the Lord Jesus ever look down upon me when countless multitudes all around us are going down the road to hell?
Why was I made to hear his voice? Why did he pick me up? Why did that other man die and go to hell? Why was it me? Brethren, I say with what has already been said, the work of God in my soul is more important than anything I can do for God. And the biggest work I have to do as a Christian is to keep my own soul right, fresh, and happy with the Lord. And you can't do that unless we take time to draw aside. Draw aside. I remember a dear brother ministering at our meeting at home one time. A quaint brother, the way he was an Irishman. And he said, I drive a car, good car. He said, the best on the road. I thought, Cadillac? No, he said, a Ford. Now he said, and I'm sitting there with my foot on the accelerator, and a man comes up behind me, and he gives me the horn. He said, I have a choice to make. I can either step on the gas and keep ahead of him. And he could do that, of course, with the Ford. Or he said, I could turn aside and let him go by. And what was he doing? He was exhorting us like Moses. I shall now turn aside and see this wondrous sight. And you know, that stuck with me. We can either step on the gas and keep going with the crowd, or we can turn aside and we can get into the presence of the Lord. And when he turned aside to see this wonderful sight, then God showed him his life's work at 40 years of age. Don't think, brother, you're too old. Not too old. You never get too old, you know, to do things for the Lord. I know. We can get kind of infirm and all the rest of it. But you're never too old to keep fresh for the Lord. And so when he turned aside, the Lord showed him his life's work. And he spoke to him. And so, brethren, we can do one of two things. And these are days of pressure. There's pressure from every side. And we can step on the gas and keep up with the Joneses and keep going ahead, full steam ahead. But, brethren, that's not what we learn, God. We have to turn aside, even in the Lord's work. We can get so going with meetings and all the rest of it that we get high and dry feeding others and our own souls wither up and get dry. Oh, may God help us that we might know what it is to keep that freshness. As the psalmist said here, he brought me up out of an horrible pit and out of the miry clay, and he set my feet upon a rock and established my going. Isn't that lovely? Brethren and sisters, do you ever think what a lovely thing it is to have your ways established? Before I was saved, Russell Cairns and I think he's here. We go to him this morning. You know, we get up on Sunday morning and we'd roam the woods and we go here and we go there. We didn't know what we were doing. We didn't know where we wanted to go. You know, the world's like that. They want to sleep in and they want to get up and go fishing on Sunday. They don't know what to do. They have no set pattern. And they're discontented. Oh, how lovely it is when on Lord's Day morning you wake up. And this is the Lord's Day. And I have something before me. What is it? Something the Lord told me to do. What did he tell me to do? He says, this do in remembrance of me. And you know, isn't it lovely to have your way established? My, there you go on Lord's Day morning. Maybe you live 20 miles from the meeting. Sometimes people live 50 miles, 60 miles. And they get up in good time. And there they go. What? Their way is established. And they get to the meeting in time. And they take their seat at the Lord's table. And there they are worshiping. Their life, their way has been established. Then they go on Monday morning, they get up, and they go to work. Before they go to work, they get their Bible. You say, get your Bible before you go to work? Well, I haven't got time to get my breakfast. Well, we were told that if you haven't got time for your Bible and your breakfast, go without your breakfast. Because it'll never become a habit. Get your Bible. And make it a habit. Because if you form habits, good or bad, they'll stick with you through life. And as a young Christian, make good habits. Form good habits. Never go out. Never go out to work. Never leave the home. Even don't leave your bedroom or the place of that quiet that you've been hearing without getting into the presence of God and reading your Bible and having a little word of prayer and committing yourself to the Lord. Because we can't do it in our own strength. We were told by Mr. Harris in our first day the book of man, I get up in the morning after he got saved. He was so full of joy that he was going out. He worked with a bunch of men and he was just going out. He had that native boldness that some of us are born with. And he was going out to show the boys what it was to be a Christian. And so, hurriedly dressed, couldn't wait to get to the work. He jumped into the old truck. And going down the road, the horn started to stop, and he couldn't get it stopped. And so, he had to stop the car to get out, and it was making an awful blast, and he got the screwdriver, and he went to unhook it and got it stopped. And out came the old swear word. What did he do? He lost his joy. He went to work. He never said a word to the boys. And he wondered, what happened? How did this happen? And so he called the preacher and he said, I want to come and see you. And he went to see him and he said, look, I want to ask you, is it possible to be saved and sin the first day? And then he told the story. Did I get up full of the joy? And was going out to show the boys what it meant to be a Christian. I was going to witness to them all. He told a story and how he got this shock and out came one of the old swear words. Well, the preacher said, you didn't start to be right. You see, you should have got down before God and asked God to help you. And commit yourself to the Lord and go in His strength. And then He would have helped you. The Lord wanted to show you, just like Peter, that your self-confidence doesn't work in the things of God. And brethren, they do not work in the things of God. And so Monday morning, when you get up and away to work, take time to get into the presence of God. Take time to be holy. The world rushes on. Spend much time in secret with Jesus alone, and it will fortify us for the day. So that's Monday. What are we doing Tuesday? Well, Tuesday is prayer meeting night. Well, we're not going to make any engagements around the time the prayer meeting would be because we have to be at the prayer meeting. And you say, well, I never saw it like that. Well, if you didn't see it like that, you don't see it right. If your ways are established in the things of God, you're going to be at the prayer meeting. Now, well, it's physically possible. Don't let a little headache or an ingrown toenail keep you away or something. Some minor thing. Oh, it's lovely when you see Christians. I don't know if there's any of them here today or not that this happened. We're having Bible readings with some young Christians in a home. And there were some good friends came from a great distance. And just at meeting time, they landed in. Well, this dear mother, woman said, she said, we're going to a prayer meeting and a Bible reading tonight. But she said, if you can stay till we come home, you're welcome to stay in the house, or you're welcome to come along with us. She never even done that, that we're going to stay home because you came. Now, I know there's circumstances sometimes that are an exception. But, brethren, listen, if our ways are established, what did the early Christians do? They that gladly received His word were baptized. And the same day there were added unto them about 3,000 souls. And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine, and in fellowship, and in breaking of bread, and in prayer. And so, He brought me up, and He set my feet upon a rock, and He established my goings. And He put a new song in my mouth, even praising unto our God. So we've been brought up. Everyone here today has born again. We've been brought up out of the pit, and we'll never be back down in it. Love it. Then this business of growing up is a hard process. And you're teenagers, huh? You're hard growing up, huh? Sure. Growing up. Well, one thing about growing up, everybody notices but yourself. You know, you don't notice yourself. Growing up there in the home, father and mother, they notice the shoes are getting too tight. And they notice the clothes are getting too tight, and they go and buy a different size. And what
caused you to grow. It's because you were being fed. That's why. And Peter says here, as newborn babes desire the sincere milk of the Word, that ye may grow thereby. I have my own little thought about the sincere milk of the Word. We used to, very primitive days, we used to put the creamer in the brook. You know what that is? We'll milk the cows. And we filled the old creamer and we put it down and put it in the brook. And supper time, we take it up and we skim the cream off the top. Sincere milk. The cream, the very best. And you got it off the top. Rather, when you're first saved, don't try to figure out all the mystery of the book of Daniel and of the book of the Revelation. And dear brethren, in assemblies, I was in a place not long ago and they were in the book of the Revelation for a whole year. I don't know what the young Christians did in that assembly. Brethren, if we can get some practical ministry out of the book of the Revelation, it's fine. But I like to think of sticking to the apostles' doctrine. And the book of the Revelation is not the apostles' doctrine. If I know anything about it, it's prophecy. And it's something that's future. And while there's a blessing to read it, and we should read it, and it'd be lovely to have someone that understands it to come along and dig deep things out of it and set them in simplicity before. But when brethren spend the whole year in the book of the Revelation in a local assembly, I say, brethren, you're not in the mind of God in that. Because any experience I've had in it is, brethren, this is one man's opinion. This is another man's opinion. And it all depends on whose commentary you have read. Because don't boast yourself. We're not original. We're not original. Well, you get an odd original thought, you preachers. But the most of it you get out of somebody's commentary, somebody else that dug it up. And if it doesn't agree with the other brother, then you've got a controversy. And if there's anything that will spoil a Bible reading, it's brethren to set themselves up and say, well, this is the way I see it. Well, anyway, keep to the sincere milk of the Word. Keep to the apostles' doctrine. And it doesn't mean that we should be in grade one all the time. But when we can make it simple, that the simplest child of God can grasp what's going on in the meeting. We're feeding them. Feeding the young Christians. And you know, Peter was given the work of feeding the sheep and taming the lamb. When you read Peter's epistle, he says, I think it meet, as long as I am in this tabernacle, to stir up your pure minds by putting you in remembrance. What's that? That's preaching the same old sermon. A lot of people don't like that. Say, I preached that before. I was someplace not long ago and he said, he preached that before. Well, brethren, Peter preached it over and over and over and over and over. He put them in remembrance. That after my decease, you shall have these things always in remembrance. You see, that's why we quote the man that brought to Christ, Mr. Harris, so much. Man, you can't forget those things. He riveted them upon our mind. Why? Because he went over them and over them and over them. I used to be preaching with him and he'd say, well, did I preach on this since I started the meetings? I said, you preached on it last week. And he said, I'm going to preach on it again tonight. Now, he didn't preach on it the very same, because the audience might not be the same. But brethren, don't let us be so knowledgeable that we can't go over these simple things with young converts. And in doing that, we're feeding them the basics in the epistles. And you know, as you read the epistles, there's nothing hard. It's difficult to be understood in all of the epistles. But if you begin to figure out the mark of the beast, I tell you, I scratch my old gray hair, and I can't figure it out after 50 years. And so, may God help us to feed the young and to feed our own souls. He says that you may grow thereby. Now he tells us here what will keep us from growing. He says, wherefore laying aside all malice and guile and hypocrisy and envies and evil speaking, as newborn babes desire the sincere milk of the Word, that ye may grow thereby. These things will keep us from growing. I was going up the street the other day at home. And I saw a man there, and he was only about so high. And he was doing some carpenter work. He must be drifting. And you know, everybody that went by looked at him. He was kind of a, no reflection on the dear fellow, but he never knew. He was poor. He's kind of an oddity. And oh, dear child of God, we don't grow in the things of God. We don't grow in the things of God. You know, we can be like the dwarf, like the dwarf. Here a man's getting baptized up there in Munson. A lot of people here knew the dear brother. He's gone home to heaven now. He said to me, Mr. Randy, he said, you know, my father's ashamed of me. I said, what do you mean? Well, he said, I'm telling you, I'm getting baptized today, and I'm 73, and I was saved and I was 13. He said, I know my father's ashamed of me. He said, you know, we had a little girl, and we loved her. But he said, when anybody came, we hid her. He said, we loved her, but we were ashamed of her. We didn't want anyone to see her. He said, she was retarded. When anyone had come, he said, we always put her in another room. And he said, that's the way I feel about my father and me. He says, I'm retarded spiritually. Here, he said, 73 years of age. And I'm getting baptized today. Ah, dear brother, growing up, and you who are just starting up, some of us have been stunted. We can't get into anything about it, you know. When we were on the farm, when we were growing up the pigs there, if they got one and he was stunted at the beginning, you'd pour all the feed in them you like. You'd never get them to grow in. You just seem to never get in any further because he's stunted at the beginning. It's lovely to begin to grow as a Christian and go on steadily, growing up, and accepting responsibility. Of course, you can't read your Bible without seeing that God is a place to take you. He has water that you're to be baptized in. He's supplied oceans of it. Oceans of it. Why people want to take a little out of a cup and put it on their forehead when God says that they're to be buried. My, it's so plain in the Word of God. And I say He's given us oceans of it. Have you been under the water? If you have, you've gone on, you're growing. Now, we know, you first get saved, and as a lady said the other day, we told her, she said, I'll never be more ready for it than I am now. Well, God bless her. Hope to baptize her when you're home. So, as you're baptized, tell me where thou feedest, for thou makest thy flock to rest at noon. And of course, if you come and ask me, I'll tell you. There's only one place. You know where it is? It's God's assembly. That's the only thing you get in the book. And so, don't go saying it's a mystery, because it's as plain as the nose in your face that God is a gathering center. Gather my saints together unto me. And so, there it is, growing up and going on for God. Now, I won't leave time for another brother. My time is spent, rambled along, growing up and building up. And brother, everything you do as a Christian, it's like putting a building block on your life. And someday your life is going to be finished. And you know what you'll have? But the people will see, they'll see you. And the Lord doesn't come, you're living in the casket. When they look in that casket, who will they see? They'll see you. That is your body. But what will come in mind? You. It took a whole lifetime to make a Samuel. It took a whole lifetime to make a Daniel. It took a whole lifetime. It took a whole lifetime to make you. And what you do in building yourself up in your most holy faith will be you. Your testimony. When you leave this place. Oh, there's much more to be said. But rather, these simple things. Brought up, then grow. And may God help us, day by day, to build up ourselves in our most holy faith, laying up to ensure a good foundation.